Module 1, Connector of Instruction. We would like to, everybody has songbook, every table has a songbook or something. Otherwise you can take from here. So we'll start with the Shrad Goswami Ashtakam, and I would request that we all sing in a chorus all together. This is page number 19 in this book with the blue. This thing. Other one, I don't know which page, same or different. Page 19. So should we start? So we'll sing in a chorus all together. Krishna Kirtana Gana Narutana Karo Prema Mritambo Nidhi Dira Dira Jana Priya Priya Karo Nirma Sara Pujita Shri Chaitanya Kripa
Jiva Tatrao Yau Munah
Blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas before trying to make this attempt. So speak something. Many, many highly qualified devotees are here. My only qualification I can say is that today morning somebody was telling, you know, you have come, I'm getting so much hope. Or yesterday somebody was talking about it. So then I was thinking, only qualification is attached to a temple which is a lot of name and fame. That's all. Individually, not having any qualifications to stand here in front of you. And more than that, all of you are holding such important services. You are all doing so much services in this mission since many years. That qualifies you a lot by your realizations. But still I will try to share whatever I can within the limit of my realizations. So we'll start with the preface. Everybody has the book, I hope. So we are so what we will do, we will just read para by para. Some paragraph we may skip, but most important points we will share our realizations. All of you are most welcome to share your realizations on these topics. So we will start with the preface. The Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. Gaudiya Vaishnavas or Bengali Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Rupa Raghunath Pade Hoi Be Akruti Kave Ham Bhujabo Se Yugala Piriti. So if you see in this preface, Prabhupada basically sets the background of what is the authority of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. How Rupa Goswami form, as we are called Rupanugas, the followers of Rupa Goswami. We understand that Srila Prabhupada started his mission at the Samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami in Rana Damodar temple, in the complex. And he was meditating on how to go to the West. So that was his own meditation. So we understand from this that it is very important, because he was always meditating on Srila Rupa Goswami's instruction. And in fact, if you remember hearing about it, that originally his plan was to go to London. But then as we know, he went to New York first. That was his first city he visited in the West. So anybody knows how it came up? It was by the revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami only. Prabhupada is telling in the later that I was told by Rupa Goswami to go to New York and start my preaching mission from there. So that way the whole mission starts by the instruction of Srila Rupa Goswami. It says, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Rupa Raghunath Pade Hoi Be Akruti Kave Ama Bhujabo Se Yugala Piriti. In fact, in the same bhajan, if you see, it starts with Gauranga Poli Se Havi. I think it's there in your song books, right? Which page is that?
70.
70. Gauranga Boli Dehave Pulaka Sharira. So here, so in the same bhajan, she says, Rupa Raghunath Pade Hoi Be Akuti. So Prabhupada translates this as, when I am eager to understand the literature given by Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. So as from this statement, it becomes very clear that the society of Krishna consciousness is not just a movement of some cheap sentiments. Although the goal is to understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, but it is mentioned here, when I am eager to understand the literatures. So the literatures hold a very, very important role in our society. That's why we'll see in this preface, as it progresses, Prabhupada outlines what are the, I think, four, five or six purposes of giving this book, Nectar of Instruction. He lays down the purpose, why this book is given to us, Nectar of Instruction. He Because this point he makes clear from this prayer that when I am eager to understand that literature, the eagerness has to be there. So last time we were discussing last week how this eagerness comes, you know. Discussing how in the association of devotees or by some special causeless mercy or we discussed by some really, you know, difficult times in our life, we get this eagerness to open and see what is given by Rupa Goswami. So going further, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to bestow upon human society the benediction of the science of Krishna. The most exalted of all the activities of Lord Krishna are his pastimes of conjugal love with the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the best of gopis. Therefore, to understand the mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously follow in the footsteps of six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta and Dasa Raghunath. So in fact, if you see this thing is mentioned here, he is the intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya and he is also going to follow in his footsteps to understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya. That is, it says Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So we understand the position of Rupa Goswami as Rupa Manjari in the spiritual world, again as an intimate associate of Radha and Krishna. And when the same lordships come in the form of Lord Chaitanya, and Rupa Goswami is entrusted with this important task to establish these scriptures. Now, from this paragraph starts the purposes of nectar of instruction. So these are not there on the slides, because slides I have only what I have given you, the charts. I hope everybody has a chart now. So these purposes, if you want, we can mark it down or we can write it down. So the first thing is to understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That we already read. Now the second paragraph, so our next paragraph. Sri Rupa Goswami was the leader of all Goswamis, and to guide our activities, he gave us this Upadesh Amrita. So another point which is mentioned is guide our activities. Again, if you see nectar of devotion also defines pure devotional service. Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavrita. So it guides the reader to understand what devotional service is all about. It is not just the external form. It very much refers to the motive or the purpose with which it is done. So it says, Jnana Karma Adi Anavritam. So we will study in our course of discussion what it means, what is pure devotional service, which is free from Jnana and Karma. Because one may think that he is practicing devotional service, and no doubt, in whatever consciousness what he is doing, one is going to advance towards Krishna consciousness. But still, one needs to understand at a certain point of time. Like, give you one example. One of the qualities which, like Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita, let's say, one of the austerities of mind. Anybody, what are the austerities of mind? What are the austerities of mind? We discussed at some moments how they were discussing this point. One of the austerities is satisfaction. And oftentimes it happens that a devotee, after practicing 20 years of Krishna consciousness, he gets frustrated and gives up. I did not find any satisfaction. Sometimes we see devotees in ISKCON claiming that, oh, I was used my whole life performing so many services and finally I have been completely burnt out and I am leaving. Whose fault? Management's fault or person's fault? How do you know it's whose fault? Maybe management's fault also. Maybe person's fault also. But the point is to understand, if one is genuinely practicing bhakti, automatic result is satisfaction and happiness. It has to come. So if you are practicing bhakti, one is finding some problem, not satisfying, not happiness, one is not able to boldly give a lecture that bhakti is so sukham. Right? One is not boldly able to express this to his, like, it is the best preacher is a happy preacher, happy devotee. Who can distribute happiness. He may not be a scholar, but by his happiness he can make others happy. So if still there is missing in the life, if still there is, you know, competitive mentality or insecurity is there, insecurity, even after practicing years of bhakti, this means something is wrong. One has not understood pure bhakti. So therefore, to guide our activities, very important, to clearly distinguish pure bhakti from, just a semblance of bhakti, which is not pure bhakti. So like that. So that is the second thing, to guide our activities. Then, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind in the 8 verses known as Shikshastra, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadesh Amrit so that we may become pure Vaishnavas. That is, of course, another in the same line, another purpose, pure Vaishnavas. In all spiritual affairs, one first duty is to control the mind and senses. So that will be the first paragraph. So if you see, to some extent, in the next slide it says, that slide is not there. I don't know if all of you have that page which says I think that is missing in the Zara. I don't know. There is one page missing. Anyway, we will give you that tomorrow, no problem. So that basically talks about the major themes which are discussed in Nectar of Instruction. So I don't know if you've seen that slide somewhere. This is the major themes discussed in Nectar of Instruction. And one of the first theme which comes out is mind and sense control. So that will be the first verse. Again, I was thinking what to discuss on that verse. So the basic verse, Prabhupada says, Upadesha Amrit is for neophytes. In the somewhere it says, it constitutes the first instruction for neophytes. So, but still we'll go through that. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. Now, the third point is coming, right? Or fourth point rather. What are the first point? To understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Then we had to guide our activities towards what which goal? To become pure Vaishnavas. And then now we have, one must promote himself to the platform of goodness or sattva guna by following the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami. And then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. This is a very interesting statement, to come to the platform of pure goodness, sattva guna. Why it is interesting? Because we see, initially many devotees while practicing sadhana have a lot of fear and insecurity. How the future will come? Somebody was sharing this quotation, I was sharing with some devotees. Past is a history. Future is a mystery. What is present? Present is a present given by the Lord. Past is a history, future is a mystery, present is a present given to you by the Lord, a gift given to you. So, this tendency to always lament about the past and worry about the future. This thing keeps a conditioned soul always restless. He cannot enjoy the present. And what is the reason? Because he is strongly under the influence of mode of passion and ignorance. Ignorance keeps him under lamentation, passion, future, future, future. That's why you see our chanting also. We are always thinking what we are going to do after our chanting. Not able to enjoy the present. Every moment goes, or maybe you are chanting the current round, but how am I going to chant the next round? And after 16 rounds, what I am going to do? So that is strongly influenced by mode of passion, planning business. Always planning. So that is passion. Always planning about the future. So as long as somebody is in passion and ignorance, he will not be able to relish the present, enjoy the present, have the bliss of the present. So this point says, one must promote to the platform of goodness and then everything how to make progress will be revealed. So passion and ignorance always keep one in anxiety and insecurity about the future. One doesn't know how things will happen. But when one comes to goodness, everything will be revealed in due course of time. And if you like to share some realization on this, everything will be revealed in due course of time. Anybody had some experience like that? That automatically everything becomes clear over a period of time. Anyone? you share, it would be nice. I would get more excited to speak. If all of you share your heart, something comes to your mind. Or you can raise hands whenever you like to. But your eagerness will contribute to my eagerness. Otherwise, these 4 hours, and especially, you know, one very kind Vaishnava is encouraging me to learn music, harmonium. And by practice of harmonium yesterday, I practically was about to lose my voice, and I said, okay, control. I just used it now. I said, I have to speak 4 hours today and tomorrow 3 hours. In the evening again, there is a class. And so please share some speaking view also.
In a generic sense, Prabhupada, the experience is that sometimes when we read books of Prabhupada, many things we don't understand. But as time progresses, some things start making, some sentences that Prabhupada says start making sense, and they seem to be indicating to you what you should do now. So as time goes, the realization of what is the importance of what Guru, Sadhu and Shastra say is progressively understood. That is in a generic sense.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah, thank you, Guru. So here, this everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. So this is always anxiety. How will you make progress? Pressure is very strong. When one comes to goodness, one tries to relish the present and leave everything on the Krishna. Huh? What is there? You know, perform the best, leave rest. Some statement is there. Huh? Anyway, so here, now the next point. So how many points we covered till now?
2, 3, 4.
Now, this next paragraph. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. That is like the $1 million statement of preface. It depends on the attitude of the follower. Very important. So many conditions, it all depends upon the attitude and not the situation. Situation cannot affect you, attitude can affect. I remember a beautiful verse from Bhagavatam, first canto, where Maharaj Parikshit is going on a tour of the kingdom. And at that point, now this is very interesting, how Prabhupada brings out this importance of attitude in bhakti at the most unexpected verses. Something is there, suddenly Prabhupada brings out something which is really required. Like this verse comes, you know, Maharaj Parikshit is on a tour. And Sudha Goswami is describing that how on this tour of this kingdom, different people are glorifying Maharaj Parikshit. And one of the words he mentioned is Saradhya Parshad Sevana Sakhya Dautya Virasana Nukamana Stavana Praname Snigdeshu Pandushu. Something. Snigdeshu Pandushu Saradhya Parshad Sevana. So he is telling Lord Krishna, he is telling Maharaj Parikshit, you know what was the position of your grandfathers? Yudhishthira, Arjuna, what was their position? Saradhya Parshada. They were so dear to Lord Krishna that Lord Krishna became their Sarathi. When it was required to become Sarathi, chariot driver. Parshada, he became the president of the Rajasuya assembly when it was required to do that. Saradhya Parshada Sevana Sakhya Dautya. Sevana, he also was agreed to do any kind of service in the mood of friendship. Dautya. Dautya means messenger. He became their messenger when it was required to go as a messenger. He went all the way taking their message. Who is the messenger? The most insignificant person. And he goes one step ahead. Virasana Anugamana. You know who is Virasana is referring to? Night watchman. He became night watchman of your grandfathers when they were in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was the one who is going camp to camp and finding out what is happening. Stavana Praname. He was offering obeisances to Maharaj Yudhishthira and taking his blessings all the time in response to their obeisances. Snigdeshu Pandushu Jagat Pranathincha Vishnu Snigdeshu. Now he says most important word. And the brilliance of Prabhupada is how he picks up that word and explains in terms of attitude. Snigdeshu. Pandushu, you know why Maharaj Parikshit, what was the quality of Pandavas? Because they had the quality of Snigdeshu. Snigdeshu, Prabhupada elaborates in different places in Bhagavatam in different ways. You know what is the meaning of Snigda? Anybody Snigda? Lubricant, right? So this is what used malleable. The word used there, malleable. Prabhupada translates it as malleability. The same verse comes somewhere else, which is bruya snigdhasya shishyasya. Prabhupada translates snig the word as submissive. So Prabhupada gives the purport in the translation only. Word to word translation, what he intends to say. So he says, because they were malleable. A very beautiful word. This is another attitude which a devotee has to develop in Krishna's service. Jagat pranatim cha Vishnu. The whole world was offering obeisances to Krishna, but Krishna was becoming servant of Pandavas because they had one quality, snigdesh, because they were very malleable. Anybody explain what is malleability?
Different time place.
Change yourself, mold yourself. That is one attitude which a devotee has to develop. Snigdesh, malleability. He cannot be rigid and fixed. He has to be malleable, understanding the will of Krishna. You may want to perform some activity in a certain way, in a certain style, with a certain conception. But then at times, you have to drastically change your attitudes, your desires, your conceptions, in which you are firmly fixed in childhood, because it is the demand of the moment. That's one example of attitude. Right? So many examples come. So advancement depends on attitude. And then he says, Bhaktim karoti nipatischarana aravinde. So when Maharaj Parikshit heard about this attitude and how Krishna was reciprocating with that attitude, he was overwhelmed with devotion. His eyes filled with tears. Bhaktim karoti nipati. He could see when a devotee becomes absolutely malleable, how Krishna becomes malleable. Same Krishna, he is ready to adjust according to your desires. Like that. Like Srila Prabhupada, traveling from country to country. And then he is going and he is establishing the deities. He is leaving the deities everywhere. And then he is requesting the deities. Of course, he didn't say like that, but I am just putting his words. I am so malleable. You also become malleable. Whatever services they offer, please accept it. You know? So deity services, you know. Whatever services, different countries, no culture, yes, they don't know how to do deity worship. Please become malleable. Accept whatever they offer. So like that. Any example anybody likes to share on attitude? Here, further. A follower of Krishna conscious movement should become a perfect Goswami. Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswami. So this is the next one, fifth one. So Goswami. In Vrindavan, the title by which director of each temple is known. One who wants to become a perfect devotee of Krishna and must become a Goswami. Go means senses, Swami means master. Unless one controls his senses and mind, one cannot become a Goswami. You achieve the highest success in life by becoming a Goswami and then a pure devotee. One must follow the instructions known as Upadeshamrita, which have been given here by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami has given many other books, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidag Madhav, Lalita Madhav, but Upadeshamrita constitutes the first instruction for neophyte devotees. One should follow these instructions very strictly, then it will be easier to make one's life successful. Hare Krishna. Easy Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. So like that. These are the purposes. Now, nectar of instruction, as we see, sorry, the Balaram font is missing, we just realized at the last moment. So whatever it is, you have the charts, you can see that. It's from Shraddha to Prem in 11 verses. Text 1 to 3 is Shraddha, 4 to 6 Sadhu Sam, 7 Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha and Ruchi. Text 8 is Asakti and text 9 to 11 is Bhav and Prem. Or we can also classify as 1 to 7 is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, 8 is Raganuga Bhakti and then 9 to 11 is Bhav and Priya Bhakti. I hope all of you are familiar with these terminologies. If not, we will discuss on that. 1 to 7 is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, 8 is Raganuga Bhakti and then 9 to 11 is Bhav and Priya Bhakti. So going ahead, anybody would like to say anything? Any questions, comments?
Proceed with text 1.
So with these charts, everything is very clear. In fact, you can prepare, if you have somebody has to appear exam, give a lecture or make a presentation. If you have this chart, you can prepare very clearly, just all the points are here. Practically every point on the PowerPoint is presented here. So it will be very easier, very easy for everyone. So go to text one. So if you read text one, okay, let us decide the verses. Vajo vegam manasa krodha vegam. You can decide after me.
Vajo vegam manasa krodha vegam.
Jivva vegam udara pastha vegam.
Jivva vegam udara pastha vegam.
Etan vegan yo visaheta dhira.
Etan vegan yo visaheta dhira.
Sarvam api imam prithvim sa shishya.
Sarvam api imam prithvim sa shishya.
Anybody can read translation?
A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger and the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world.
So although it says the instructions are for neophytes, but we are training the neophytes to make disciples all over the world. So everybody becomes a guru now. So, so as you cross first verse, then qualified to become guru. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam 6:1-9-10, Parikshit Maharaj placed a number of intelligent questions before Shukadev Goswami. So Parikshit Maharaj's main question is, why do people undergo atonement if they cannot control their senses? Atonement. Prayaschita. So as we know, he gives three analogies here. Elephant and bath. Just like an elephant after bathing spoils his own body with all the mud around. So there is no point of taking bath. Then another example comes, thief and police. It's also there in charts. What is thief and police? A person is arrested, punished, he comes out, again commits the theft. What is the point? There is no transformation of heart. Confessions. They go to the church, they make confessions, again come out, the whole week commit sin, go at the end of the week, do confession. What is the point? And then another one which is not quoted here, Prabhupada quotes in the on page 3 of the book. If you see in the middle, this verse is quoted, Namano Balad Yasehi Papa Buddhi, the seventh offense to the holy name. Committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Similarly, so therefore that is the fourth point Prabhupada mentions. So on page 3, on the big paragraph, towards the end, there is a line, this kind of prayaschit, second part, right? You can see that? This kind of prayaschit or atonement is condemned by Maharaj Parikshit, the most intelligent king of his time. Shukadeva Goswami, equally intelligent and as befitting the spiritual master of Maharaj Parikshit, answered the king and confirmed that his statement concerning atonement was correct. A sinful activity cannot be countered by a pious activity. Thus, real prayaschit or atonement is the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness. So he defined, this is the definition of real prayaschit. Awakening of dormant Krishna consciousness. So that is the definition, awakening of dormant Krishna consciousness. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sathya Kabunoye. That is dormant, that is prayaschit. So unless a dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened, one will keep on doing the sin again and again. One will keep on falling into the same activities again and again. Dormant Krishna consciousness, unless that is awakened, the seeds of sinful desire will not be destroyed. And that was Arjuna's frustration in third chapter of Gita. In third chapter of Gita, if you see, Arjuna expresses, Athakena prayuktoyam vapam charati pusha anichchati varshneya baladivaniyojisa. Athakena, what is that force which impels me to commit the sinful act, although I know it should not be done? Papam charati purusha. Right. Isn't it all of us have this experience? Sometimes we are not supposed to commit something, but we commit. So, anichchan api varshneyam balad eva niyojisa. As if some force, something is forcing me to commit that act. Athakena. So, what is Krishna's answer? Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna sama. This is the mode of passion which manifests as lust and then anger, which impels you. So then he also answers how to counteract this lust, how to counteract this desire to commit sin. And if you see in that place, he mentions two verses, I think 3.41 and 43. But in the 43 verse, last verse, third chapter, he says, eva buddhe param buddhva samsta bhyatmana bhatmana. He says, therefore, you should cultivate spiritual intelligence. Deliberate spiritual intelligence. Buddhe param buddhva samsta vyatmana vatmana. Unless and until intelligence becomes strong, one cannot refrain from sinful activity. So he does mention that control the senses by the power of intelligence. So here also it says awakening of dormant Krishna consciousness. Unless and until higher power is there, unless one understands one relationship with Krishna, one will fall down again and again to the same urges. So that relationship has to become very strong. Then, so now we start discussing about atonement. What is that process of atonement? So that is how this first verse starts. This basically establishes the basis. These urges always force us to perform sinful activities, so we have to atone for that. So real atonement involves coming to real knowledge. And for this, there is a standard process. When one follows a regulated hygienic process, he does not fall sick. A human being is meant to be trained according to certain principles to revive his original knowledge. Now here, there is a, definition of tapasya is also given. Right? Tapasya is also defined. If you see in the notes there, the charts there, real atonement, under that, towards my side, it is written, training according to regulative principles and methodical life. So this is a methodical life. Method is very much a methodical life. It cannot be a random life. Training according to regulative principles and methodical life. Tomorrow, I think, is appearance or disappearance? Appearance day of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You look at his lifestyle, you know, highly methodical. If you read his daily schedule, I remember when I heard about his daily schedule, it was mentioned, every night, 7:30, go to sleep. Wake up at 10 o'clock. Many people sleep at 11, 12, you know. Wake up at 10 o'clock. 10 to 4 o'clock, writing books, literatures. 4 to 4.30, some rest. 4.30 to 7, chanting his rounds. Then 7 to 7.30, some correspondence. Then again, 7.30 to 9.30, he would study books. Different books on philosophy. His personal sadhana is important, not just writing. Personally, you know, he is reading philosophy, books, everything. And then 9:30, I think he would take breakfast and bath and get freshened up. 10 o'clock, he is out. 10 to 1, he would settle court cases. And it is described that in 5 minutes, he would settle one court case, which would take an hour for any other magistrate to deal with this. In 5 minutes, and around 30 to 40 cases, you know, finish in half a day. And then 1 to 2, he would go and take his lunch and take some rest and come back. Refreshment. Then again 2 to 5, he would work. Then it is said 5 to 7, he would translate books into Bengali. From Sanskrit to Bengali, all the commentaries. 7 come back, 7:30 go to rest, 10 o'clock wake up. That was his schedule. Another lecture of Prabhupada I was hearing. Actually, Prabhupada is becoming very heavy. He said, where is the question of becoming tired? Why do you complain? You become tired. Soul never gets tired. If you are serving Krishna, there is no question of taking rest. Why you say you get tired? And it becomes really heavy on this point. And then he's quoting verses in Gita, verse after verse after verse. Soul is spiritual beyond all bodily tiredness, beyond bodily exhaustion. Soul is on a spiritual platform. Nainam chintanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavaka. He's going heavy on this. So there's no question of taking rest. So they talk of highly methodical life. Sri Prabhupada is highly methodical life. So tapasya, it says, training according to regulative principles and methodical life. Another thing, you know, methodical means very, like you can say, I would use the word ruthlessly disciplined. Ruthlessly disciplined. Discipline yourself. Deep, like I remember one story I was reading. A book is kept in this library, and I never read the book previously, but this strong one was Babaji. And it is described how I like this story, because I was taking rest here. So generally in our temple in Jabati, we are not used to taking rest in the rooms, like either on the top of the terrace or big temple hall. So having a room with 5-6 people and the air condition is on, sometimes we are not used to taking a rest. So when you sleep on the bed, you don't feel like getting up early. So then I was thinking, you know, let me go out. So one day slept there in the front, you know, outside the temple, and security guard, I think nobody has this culture of sleeping outside. They were thinking I'm crazy or what. So I was sleeping there, and I really got inspired by this story. This Babaji, from a very young age, he's attracted to renunciation. And I think at 12 years, he takes Babaji initiation. And he is staying in Vrindavan, and it is mentioned there that, you know, when he doesn't use mosquito net. It's very typical, I see sleeping there, all mosquitoes around, you can't sleep half the night, keep you awake. So he doesn't use mosquito net. So all the other Babaji says, what is the problem? You should use mosquito net. You will sleep nicely, you can do your bhajan nicely. He says, no, if I use mosquito net, I will sleep so comfortably, I will not be able to wake up in the morning. So my mosquitoes keep biting, so I wake up in the middle of night, shatna bhajan. I got a very good idea. I said, very good idea. If I have to wake up in the morning, go and sleep among mosquitoes. Very difficult. 1 or 2 days, but then it's frustrating. Then another day, this Babaji, extreme cold, and you know Vrindavan cold, those who have gone to Vrindavan, it's really cold there. In the middle of night, he's sleeping outside with no quilt, no blanket. He had some chadar, and it is all like with holes and stitches and hardly anything. And these other Babajis are taking nice quilt and covering themselves. So they are, why don't you take quilt? He said, if I take quilt, I'll be too comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable, I can wake up nicely. But then he woke up in the morning, around 2-3 o'clock early morning, and then he starts doing his bhajan, his sadhana, like we do japa, I don't know, might be doing his japa or whatever. But while doing japa, he's feeling extreme cold, and he's shivering and shivering and shivering, and he's not able to concentrate. He gets really frustrated. He gets up, goes in the middle of a cold, chilling kul in the pond, and he sits there inside, and starts his bhajan. So then Babaji, somebody wakes up and goes, what are you doing in the middle of night in Vrindavan, sitting in the cold water and performing this bhajan? And he says, you know, this body is demanding too much comfort. I want to punish this body and teach this body that do not demand so much comfort, it is not good for you. So that is another extreme of methodical life, or highly, ruthlessly disciplined. But to some degree, one has to discipline his life. That is tapasya, according to regulative principles and methodical life. Without a disciplined life, one cannot take responsibility. And if one is just living on the demands of society, whatever comes, he lives, no. He has to discipline his life, tapasya. And then yellow part is application, which will be on the next page. But now, talking about atonement. This is traditional tapasya and pancharatri ki tapasya. So this paragraph talks about traditional tapasya. Right? So if you see here on this chart, celibacy, mind, sense control. This is the verse from 6th canto Bhagavatam. I think 6.1.13 if I am not wrong. Somewhere in the first chapter, 6th canto. This thing. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena damena cha. What is next? Tapasa, Tavacharena, Shamena, Dhananacha, Satyam, Ahimsa, Shauchabhyam. Something like that. Satyam, Shauchabhyam. So it talks about the traditional means of tapasya. What is demanded? Austerity, truthfulness, renunciation, celibacy, mind sense control and cleanliness, yogasanas. But then we have Pancharatri ki tapasya. So if you see in this paragraph on page 4, first paragraph, however, if one is fortunate to get the association of a pure devotee, in the middle of paragraph I am reading on page 4. However, if one is fortunate enough to get the association of a pure devotee, he can easily surpass all the practices for controlling the mind by the mystic yoga process simply by following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness. Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. And by engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. So what are the components here? First he says in the chart, if you see do and turns. Practice bhakti under guru's guidance in the association of devotees. So what are the do's? Rules of bhakti under guidance of guru in the association of devotees. And what are the don'ts? Four regulative principles. That makes the process very easy. One may not be able to follow this austerity, truthfulness, all these things, but the very moment you put yourself under a guru, tapasya starts. Right? That's why people are afraid of surrender, you know. Tapasya. Prabhupada mentions, you know, initiation is not just a formal ceremony. It is a matter of placing yourself under the guidance. Surrendering your heart. Like Sri Prabhupada mentions, you know, one of the early days, he performed initiation. And after initiation, few people actually just came, took initiation and never to be seen after thereafter. Never to be seen thereafter. Right? Never came to that Sangha, never met Prabhupada, nothing. Then Prabhupada is recalling, you know, after some, he said, actually they were never initiated. So it is not just formal, it is, so that is what tapasya, placing yourself under the regular guidance. And in the association, so guru and sadhu, both are required. We will discuss the issue later. But now, just tapasya, that is Pancharatri ki tapasya. Anybody like to say anything? Any questions or any thoughts?
What is yoga asana?
What is yoga asanas? Yoga asanas, yoga asanas.
Yes.
Yes. So first comes Vacho Vega. One must control his speaking power. Every one of us has the power to speech. As soon as we get an opportunity, we begin to speak. If we do not speak about Krishna consciousness, we speak about all sorts of nonsense. A toad in the field speaks by croaking. And similarly, everyone who has a tongue wants to speak, even if all he has to say is nonsense. The croaking of the dog, however, simply invites the snake, please come here and eat me. This actually we saw, you know, we were in a farm there, Vada farm, near Bombay. And we used to go every year, staying 3 months in the rainy season. And many of these toads and frogs everywhere, you know. So our Gurukul is ashram is on the ground floor, and actually the toads enter, you know, in the room, and so much noise in the morning everywhere. Like those experience in the farm where there is so much noise. Here also, here you get noise. I don't know. So then practically we saw, you know, a snake walking inside. I mean, not walking, whatever, crawling inside the room and coming, and actually in front of our eyes, you know, he's devouring. So we saw that. So really, that time actually this example became more graphic in my, you know, memory, that yes, this is what it is, you know. The time of death, you know, comes. Please come here and eat me. Nevertheless, although inviting death, the toad goes on croaking. The talking of materialistic men and impersonalist Mayavad philosophers may be compared to croaking of the frogs. They are always speaking nonsense and inviting death to catch them. Right? So this morning in the Bhagavatam class I was sharing, those were there. This one verse from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, where you find the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When he starts Chaitanya Charitamrita, he speaks a beautiful verse, which really shows his such nice devotional intention, you know, and it shows his humility also. He says, Krishnot Kirtan Gan Nartan Katha Patho Jani Bhrajita. Very nice word it says. He says, Sad Bhaktavali Hamsa Chakra Madhupa Shreni Viharas Padam. He says, just like in a river, in a flowing river, there are many wonderful lotuses and flowers are there. Different kinds of flowers are there. And what happens when these flowers are there? What do they attract? Bees. What else? Swans. What else? Different kinds of birds are there. I don't know all the names, also he mentions. Sad Bhaktavali Hamsa Chakra Madhupa Shreni Viharaspadam. Viharaspadam means? What is Vihara means? Playing around. He says, this is the place where they take pleasure, sporting place. He says, Hamsa Chakra Madhupa, they take pleasure in these beautiful lotuses which are decorating this nice river. So he says, Krishna Kirtan or Krishna Katha or this chant or this Gaur Leela, because he is planning to describe Gaur Leela. He says, Gaur Leela is like a flowing river which is decorated with wonderful flowers. What are those flowers? Pastels of Lord Chaitanya's dancing, pastels of Lord Chaitanya's katha, Lord Chaitanya's pastel with his devotees. Different kinds of flowers are decorating this river of Gaur Leela. And who is attracted? Sad Bhakta Vali Hamsa Chakra. Sad Bhakta, the pure devotees who are like Hamsa, Chakra, Madhubhava, still are attracted in rows. That is a sporting place. And then he says, I forgot the third line, but the last part he says, Jivva Maru Prangane. He says, my Jivva, my tongue is like a desert. Maru Prangane. Prangane is courtyard. The courtyard of my tongue is like a desert. And I am feeling very dried up because I am not having any flow of nectar there. Dried up. Like at the below water, dried up. At the end of, you know, Nirjal fasting, dry, tongue dries up. Jivva Maru Prangane. Shri Chaitanya Lasat Lila Sudha Swaradhuni. He says, Shri Chaitanya Dayanidhi Lasattavar Asat Lila Swaradhuni. He says, let this nectar flow of Gaur Leela take place on my tongue, which is dried up. Because when this Gaur Leela will flow, all the beautiful lotuses, all the beautiful flowers will come there and it will attract the association of pure devotees. So nice verse, he's praying, let this Gaur Leela decorate my tongue. So like this we find many devotees praying. They say otherwise, speaking all sorts of nonsense. So let us drown in this nectar, you know, of Hari Katha. And let the tongue always speak that. Like the other day I was giving example in Sunday feast, I think, last Sunday only, of this, when I mentioned about durian, you know. So I say that, we always give this example, like simple example. Sponge, you know, soaked in a dirty fluid. You keep somewhere in the sewage water, all dirt will come out. But kept in nice fragrant waters, taken out, kept in the room, this bright fragrance. So similarly, this consciousness, only when it is with a great effort, discipline, tapasya, soaked in the scriptures and taken out, only thing which will come out is Krishna Katha. Only thing, nothing else. Where it is so, that will come out. And some devotees you will find, they speak only one thing again and again. Like I know some devotees, they are so addicted to holy name, any purport comes in the Bhagavatam, that last will be your holy name. You know, some devotees so addicted to Bhagavad Gita, any purport comes, they will open Gita. Some devotees so much in addition to 10th canto of Bhagavatam, anything you put, they will speak Krishna Leela. I know one devotee, the most technical purports of creation, of Mahatattva and Pradhan and everything is going on. And he reads the purport, he closes the book, he picks up Krishna book and starts speaking Krishna Leela. Anything, he'll make some random connection somewhere and start speaking Krishna Leela. Or then he will pick up the purport, he will close it, then he will say, so in the beginning of this month, there was Janmashtami, I didn't got a class of Janmashtami, so let me speak on Krishna Leela. So absorbed, you know, that's the only thing which comes out from their mouth, Krishna Leela. So, but then he says, controlling speech does not mean self-imposed silence, external process of mauna, as Mayavadi philosophers think. Silence may appear helpful for some time, but ultimately it proves a failure. I have a nice realization one time, like this, you know, like having long classes, 4 hours, 3 hours. One day I had almost 7 hours classes. So then, a day before that, so like Thursday I had 3 or 4 hours classes, and coming Sunday I had like 7 hours class. So Saturday I was thinking, man, if I keep talking like this to people and answering questions, I will lose my voice. So I thought, let me have a Mauna Vrat. So then, living in the activity of the temple, having a Mauna Vrat, you know. I did this 2-3 times. Very difficult. So then, I wrote a paper in my diary that my throat is extremely bad. I just cannot speak. So at one time, my throat was really bad. I practically lost my voice. But another time, my speech was absolutely alright. I just wrote to protect myself from unnecessary abuse of the voice. So I wrote on the paper, you know, I put it in the pocket. And anybody come, I will show him. I think Hemant was there and I showed him also. I said, sorry, I cannot answer your question. So, then they would, no, they had to ask questions. So you would have all the conversation in writing, writing. One of my diary, half diary is full of, you know, tell him to do this, why can't he do this, he's a nonsense, he's a rascal, like getting angry at people. At one point, so I had declared that my throat is really bad, I can't speak. Evening somebody came and it really irritated me so much, I forgot that I am imposing a silence. So in front of everyone I blasted him, I really got angry, I shouted at him, what are you doing? And everybody, how come your throat came back? Completely exposed, you know, in the public. So here, this nice point is there. Silence may appear some time, but ultimately it proves a failure. Like Srila Prabhupada going to this Mauni Baba, you know. So his disciple is telling Srila Prabhupada, see, our Maharaj, he is on Mauna Vrat, he doesn't speak at all. It was said, perfect. He is on Mauna Vrat and he have taken breath of speaking Krishna. So I will speak, he will hear. What a perfect combination. The meaning of controlled speech conveyed by Rupa Goswami advocates the positive process of Krishna Katha, engaging the speaking process in glorifying Krishna. The tongue can thus glorify the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord. The preacher of Krishna Katha is always beyond the clutches of death. What is the meaning of this statement? Preacher is beyond the clutches of death. Anybody would like to share? Preacher is beyond the clutches of death. How do you understand this statement? Will a preacher not be impacted by death? He will be, but then what it means?
Transcendental.
Not scared of death.
The clutches of death, the clutches word is that repetitive chain that he is again being forced to go, and in that sense he is not forced by the laws. Because for him death is actually a gift to go back to God rather than being trapped again into another body.
Yes. But I remember Sri Prabhupada once mentioned this, you know, during his last day, I think in October 1977, one of his conversations he mentioned, you know. So I asked Krishna, and Krishna has given me the choice. If I want, I can leave. If I want, I can stay. So I am thinking, what should I do? And he closes his eyes. And he is thinking. You know, and then he says, okay, so it appears that he extends, okay, one more month I will stay. Right. Any other thought on this? Yes, Prabhu.
Once Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the difference between material man and spiritual man is that for a material man, he needs to die and to die and to die and to die again and again. Whereas the spiritualist, he needs to die, he dies to live forever.
He dies to live forever, yes. Who was that? Yes.
Also, another way to look at it, the clutches of death is that the ordinary conditioned soul is always under the fear of death, which is also a clutch of death in one sense, you know, because he is always being threatened to by death, that everything that he has accumulated, everything that he has done will eventually be destroyed. But the spiritualist, the transcendentalist, whatever he is doing is beyond the clutches of death, so whatever he is gathering is not going to be affected by time. So that's another way to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like they die to live. In another poem, is, you know, he says ill, who put it, the Vaishnavas die.
He reasons ill.
Anybody remember that poem? No.
He reasons ill, who says Vaishnavas die.
They live and by living spread the holy name around. Another thing, you know, which comes to my mind when I read this, Prabhupada mentioned that in the purport in Bhagavatam, you know, where sages are discussing about Krishna Katha. And at one point, sages are telling Sruta Goswami, please speak about Krishna, because even Yamaraj has come here to hear about Krishna. So even Ramana, the controller of death, is sitting there. But this verse, na kaschid mriyate tavad yavad aste ihantaka. Where the controller of death, ihantaka, sabka ant karne wala, the one who causes the ant of everyone, he has come here and he is sitting in the audience to hear what? To hear about Krishna. Please stick to that topic and do not deviate, because Yamaraj himself has come, and if you find the speech boring, he will go away. Right? Sometimes the speaker has its anxiety, you know, and make sure class remains interesting, otherwise half people get up and go away. So the sage's interest, sage's anxiety is, I'll make sure Yamaraj is also satisfied. She says, na kaschit mriyate tavat yavat aste ihantaka iho pahudai bhagavan. After all, why we have called Yamaraj? To hear Krishna katha. So na kaschit mriyate tavat, nobody will die as long as Yamaraj is sitting here, closed his business and hearing our Krishna katha. So why somebody will die? That is another story which comes to your mind. Thank you very much for your contributions. This is the significance of controlling the urge to speak. That is about, of course, about speak, much nice verses also come later. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's commentary will come. Then he says, the restlessness or fickleness of the mind is controlled when one fixes his mind on lotus feet of Krishna, Mana Vego. What is the meaning of fixing one's mind on lotus feet of Krishna? Any elaborations from Srila Prabhupada's purport? Now this is interesting. Bhakti Shastri is a training for those who do not have this habit, like one of the austerities of speech, Bhagavad Gita mentions. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chvayo. What is the abhyas? What is the practice? Whatever you speak, it should be based on scriptures. So those who do not like many things, this is all basic philosophy. All of us know. Those who even have never read NOI, they have heard all these things. They know all these example stories. Bhagavad Gita, we know what is there in Bhagavad Gita. But now is a facility you can quote. Okay, here Prabhupada says, explain this like this, this, this. So it's Svadhyaya Abhyasanam. That practice to quote based on scriptures. So now, we will try, whenever we quote, we base our thing on scripture. But okay, if you do not know scripture, still please quote. It will keep it interesting. You will not get, okay, I cannot quote because I don't know scripture. So yeah, so what does it mean? Fixing the mind on lotus feet of Krishna.
Any thoughts?
Scriptural or based on your experience, you can share. Fixing mind on Krishna, lotus feet of Krishna. Like several places, he does mention about the meditation, how meditation starts from lotus feet of the Lord. But what exactly here it means, fixing the mind on lotus, how one controls his mana vega. He cannot sit all the time in front of the altar and fix the mind on lotus feet of Krishna. So what are the different understandings on this?
Service.
Spiritual master. Prabhupada mentioned in one purport in Bhagavatam, he says, Yarpada Samshraya Sutara. He says, the meaning of Prabhupada or Vishnupada, the meaning of Prabhupada or Vishnupada is one who is situated at lotus feet of Krishna. So there he very clearly writes, to fix one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna means to fix one's mind on the instructions of spiritual master. This is very clear in Bhagavatam. You can refer this, I think it's 1.1.15. Yat pada samshaya suta munaya prashamayana satyo punanti upasprishta swadhuni apunu sevaya. It says, just by meditating on the instructions, by service to a pure devotee, yat pada samshaya suta, who are absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna, what happens? One gets immediately satya punanti, purified. While taking bath in Ganges takes long time. You know that bhajan? What is that bhajan? Some song which talks about this comparison of Ganga and Ganges and
Paschata
Pavan. Darshan Pavitra Kole Aitamara. By your darshan I get purified. And actually it goes to one step ahead, you know. At one place in Bhagavatam it says, so one is darshan. One is sparsha. Okay, some pure devotee comes and gives you sparsha, keeps his hand on your head. Then one gets purified. Sparsha. One is darshan, just by darshan. Shri Prabhupada, just by travelling all over the creation, all over the globe, he purified people by his darshan. He goes one step ahead. Yesham samsmaranatum sam. Even if there is no darshan, there is no sparsha, just by smarana. Just by satyo shuddhyanti vaikriha. Maharaj Parikshit Sharing Shukadeva Goswami, from just by remembering you, we householders get purified. He's telling my life. Going one step ahead, it's like all gradation, you know. One is sparsha, then darshana, and then samsmaranatpumsa. So that is one point, fixing one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Like I remember one devotee, he raised this question, you know, in one of our Sunday fixed class in Chapati. See, one thing is, because I have not travelled all over the world, I have just experience of Chapati temple in my own life, so I'll share some stories from there. So, one devotee was, Radharam Maharaj was giving class and this devotee was sharing, you know. So it's a sweet exchange into place. So he raised the question with great sincerity, you know, thinking I asked this question to Maharaj. And he thought Maharaj would appreciate the question and everything. So then he raised the question. You know Maharaj, this is marathon going on, book distribution marathon. And he is really intensely, he is one of the in charge of marathon. And Bombay Marathon is a big thing, it's like huge activity. Because three temples in competition, Juhu, Chapati, Mirror, are a big competition going on, everybody is in full form. So he's asking, Maharaj, when I sit for chanting Hare Krishna, I only think of how to organize marathon. How to overcome this mentality of service attitude and start chanting Hare Krishna. So you're all thinking now, Maharaj, you appreciate how sincere, what a nice question, you know. You were there that time? Somebody. So he's telling, you know, he said, I offer my thousands of obeisances at your lotus feet. And this devotee is brahmachari, completely embarrassed. What is he telling? You are great, you are exalted soul. I'm just paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact words, but he must like already glorifying. And we're all wondering, what is happening? Why is he telling like that, you know? He's asking some question with desperation. Then he says, Prabhu, at least you are thinking of service while chanting Hare Krishna. I am thinking of sense gratification while chanting Hare Krishna. So that's a great thing. So at least you are thinking of service. So then he gave a whole thing, you know, at least something we are thinking of service. Otherwise, the initial stage is thinking of sense gratification. It is fixing one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Now that is first point. And second point it goes here is, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hai Adhikar Yaha Krishna Tahanai Maya Ra Adhikar. Krishna is like sun, Maya is like darkness. If sun is present, there is no question of darkness. This is another thing. There is no question of darkness. No ignorance is the cause of all the negative emotions in the mind. The very thing fact that somebody has a negative emotion means he is in ignorance. Very simple test, you know. One can see what is the level of his advancement. So it says, Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. There is no question of darkness. Because one of the quality of Krishna in Isha Parishad will come is Shuddham Apapa Vittam. Shuddham Apapa Vittam. He is antiseptic and prophylactic. Anybody explain what is antiseptic means? Antiseptic. Very chosen words and translation he has used. Antiseptic. What is the difference between antiseptic and prophylactic? Anybody would like to share?
Antiseptic is used when you already have an infection, to treat that infection.
To purify, to cure. Yeah.
So prophylaxis means to prevent from
to prevent. So these are every Shuddham Apapa Vittam. Then you invite Krishna in your life, what happens? Shuddham. The first effect is you get purified. And if you keep practicing, it also acts as a prophylactic. It prevents any further infection. So the very fact Krishna is there in the mind, you cannot experience any negativities. You see, by the speech, by somebody's talk, one can understand what is his absorption in Krishna consciousness. By his attitudes, by his lifestyle, by his speech, one can understand what is his. Nobody can hide, you know. You cannot act beyond your realization. Even if you come in a sangha and pretend that, okay, you know, I have really read all the scriptures, your language and your behavior shows how much you have read. Like, I'll give you one example. Previously, I was told, you know, read Bhagavatam. So, whenever this lady would ask you to read Bhagavatam, I would say, he says, I am reading Bhagavatam. And they knew that he is not doing it properly. He is missing somewhere the goal. Because they can see by the consciousness. And I also thinking I am reading. I am opening the book also. But still not absorbing anything. So many times this would happen. It would happen every 6 months. I would be asked the question. So are you reading your books regularly? Every day you are purifying your consciousness? Yes, I am doing every day. I am sitting every day half an hour, 1 hour with the Bhagavatam. And sometimes actually I would sit. Absolutely, in his based on that's a different question, but I would say. So, Sridhar could immediately send. So, then what happened one day? I was really in some problem and I went and said, I'm fed up. Then I got a heavy dose. How you are reading Bhagavatam? How you are chanting on Indian? When I see you chanting, you are absolutely spaced out. The chanting doesn't make any sense. I said, what do you mean? I think I'm so conscious of chanting. How can you say like that? And then I got heavy dose. He said, if you follow like this, follow the process properly, then I will see the effect. So then I took it seriously. I said, now is the time. I suffered a lot. For an year I read Bhagavatam. And then I didn't have to tell it. Somebody came and told me, now I can say you are reading Bhagavatam. Now there is some purification. We can see in your life. So when Krishna is there in the heart, you can't fake. Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was noticing all the demonic symptoms in society, he is telling one verse. Test, you know, it's like a testing mark. It says, Manyate Dharma Hotapate Nunama Bhagavat Padai Ananya Purusha Shri Virhina Bhuhata Saubhaga. This is the very fact all these negative symptoms are there in society which Krishna has not manifested himself, or Krishna has hidden away from society. Krishna has left this society. Manya ete mahotpate utpata. You know what is utpata? Utpata means upsurge, disturbance. The very fact there is a disturbance in the society at climatic level, environmental level, at mental and emotional level, at spiritual level, at behavioral level. People are full of hypocrisy, people are full of cheating, people are always fighting, people cannot stay with each other, they cannot tolerate each other, they are always complaining, they are always criticizing. He makes, if you read all those verses, every quality he brings out. They cannot stay together, brothers can't tolerate, parents can't tolerate, friends cannot tolerate each other. He says, Manya Ether, I understand, Krishna has taken away his grace. If Krishna has manifested, positive qualities have to be there. See, the mind is full of three cancers. Complain, criticize and compare. Compare, complain and criticize. Complain, compare and criticize. These are three cancers of mind. Anything you see, any impulse which comes from anything you hear, you see, you perceive, mind processes and you start complaining or comparing or criticizing. Healthy mind, if mind is healthy, any impulse which goes, anything you see, anything you hear, anything you perceive, two things will come out. You can understand your mind is healthy. What is that? Service attitude and gratefulness. Like one quote I was reading, walk a mile in the shoes of someone before you complain about someone. One quote I was reading, walk for a mile in the shoes of someone before you complain about someone. Many, many quotes were there, you know. Of course, I'm not going to the quotes now. But it says, this point, you know, if two qualities come out, service attitude and gratefulness while dealing with any situation, means your mind is healthy and Krishna conscious. Otherwise, mind is diseased. If you complain, oh, why like this? Oh, no, this is nonsense. This is why it has to happen. Or criticize, or complain. So, test. So, like that, so these few points are there. So, two points we discussed in Manavegam. Manasa, what is the problem? Vacuum attracts anarthas. Solution, meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna via the instruction of spiritual master. And second thing is, wherever Krishna is there, ignorance cannot stay. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is telling, Utpata, all these upsides indicate Krishna has left this planet. And this planet is bereft of all auspiciousness. Any experiences you would like to share? Anybody would like to see? We'll have half an hour discussion more. If you're getting tired, I don't know. Are you tired? Anybody? So half an hour, then we have break for some time. So any experience you would like to share on a healthy mind or a diseased mind, on a healthy tongue or a diseased tongue, on a desert-like tongue or a tongue experiencing nectar? Okay, we proceed now. Yes, Prabhuji.
Sometimes in situations like when you are in punishment, you tend to go into the territory. The territory is difficult for us to evaluate, to compare. Sometimes we need to use these elements. So how do you manage this?
You can share with me better. I am not a manager, you are a manager. How do you manage? But I know by your schedule that you were telling that you make sure that element of Shuddham Abhava Vidham is there. Like in Bhagavad Gita, one verse comes, Tatra eva sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuya Pashyati akrita buddhitvan nasa pashyati durmati. In 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this verse comes, around 11th or 12th verse somewhere. He says, Tatra eva sati kartaram. An intelligent person, he understands that behind him there is another doer, that is Krishna. Five doers are mentioned. One, Krishna is also acting in the field. So an intelligent person, while performing any action, he takes Krishna along with him. So he makes sure there is, like Randivati was telling, you know, so much problem and I want to immediately go and solve this problem. And how is the idea of solving the problem? He goes and attacks one person or another devotee. But why he did like this? Can't you understand? He forces him to go his own way. I said, wait a minute. It may be your impulsive action. Did you go to Krishna? Did you made a prayer? Krishna, please come with me. Make sure I don't make any offense. Right? So make sure wherever you go, take Krishna with you. He'll be there to protect. So as you were telling, you know, reading Bhagavatam in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra properly in the morning. So I think these are a few. So while entering the day, we make sure we carry Krishna with us. Then it's like Shuddham Abhapavittam. Antiseptic is there, prophylactic is there. Few thoughts. You can share some more detail.
I remembered, I don't remember exactly, but I try to recollect as much as I can. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the formula, because sometimes in terms of compare, criticize, and this challenge comes for those who are managers. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says how to decide what is criticism
and what is not. And he gives a simple formula that if some criticism or comparison is done for one of the three following reasons, then it is not having any fault. It is one, for the benefit of the individual; two, for the benefit of the community; and I think third, for the benefit of devotee or something like that. He used a formula. So essentially, coming to the point that it is for the good of everyone and it is not done with a malicious motive.
Yes, yes.
I don't know the exact benefit, I remember. He gives three clear pointers. But if it's for this, this and this, then it is considered not a faulty behavior. Like the guru chastising the disciple for the benefit of the disciple or whatever, yes.
That's about Manavega. And then a part of Manavegam is also Krodha. That's a part of mind only. Similarly, anger can be controlled. We cannot stop anger altogether. But if we simply become angry with those who blaspheme the Lord or the devotees of the Lord, we control our anger in Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became angry with the miscreant brothers Jagai and Madhai. Krodhi, Bhakta, Dveshi Jana, something like that, Narottam Das Thakur says. Bhakta Dveshi Jana, something like that. Who blasphemed and struck Nityanand Prabhu. In his Shikshashtak, Lord Chaitanya says, Trinad api suni chena, taror api sahi suna. One should be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than the tree. One may then ask, why the Lord exhibited his anger? The point is that one should be ready to tolerate all insults to one's own self, but when Krishna or his pure devotee is blasphemed, a genuine devotee becomes angry and acts like fire against the offenders. Krodha, anger, cannot be stopped, but can be applied rightly. It was in anger that Hanuman set fire to Lanka, but he is worshipped as the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. This means that he utilizes anger in the right way. Arjuna serves another example. He was not willing to fight, but Krishna incited his anger. You must fight. To fight without anger is not possible. Anger is controlled, however, when utilized in the service of the Lord. So how many of you have experienced uncontrolled anger? So I hope all of you can share Raman's story of uncontrolled anger and how you dealt with this. Okay, just maybe you can share one more, maybe just say one word. What caused anger in some, like, one? Frustration. Frustration with what? How do devotees cause frustration?
Dissatisfaction.
When we have an expectation.
Expectation.
And if it doesn't fulfill that expectation, then mind initially naturally gets agitated and anger.
So expectation, dissatisfaction, frustration. What else? Any other words? Attitude. What attitude? Something which you are not supposed to keep. The attitude which you are not supposed to have. Like an attitude of expectation and attitude of frustration. What else? I am bringing out some points, so if all of you continue, then I will summarize in 2 points.
There was once one devotee told me, devotee is crying on earth, if only he was a karmi order, killed him.
I don't know who told, but I also personally told someone like that. So I believe you are exposing me. One time we were sitting in a meeting and somebody really fried me out. So then I was asked in the meeting, so how are you feeling? I said, I feel if somebody comes and asks me this question, I am going to just take his head and blast it off, you know. Sometimes people really fry you out. Any other experience? One last.
Selfishness.
See, Krishna warns in Gita again and again, two words come. At several places you will find. Nir Ashir and Nir Mama. he talks about having hopes, asha, as he talks about expectation, or mama. Mama means proprietorship. See, the moment you will have this asha and proprietorship over something, and when it is taken away, it will cause anger. These two things. And Krishna already told you, nirashya, nirmama bhutva. Now, mamatva, this mama, this is the biggest problem here, when you hold this proprietorship. Simple thing, you hold proprietorship over time, over planning. A simple thing. One funny thing in devotee society, which causes anger, you know, I don't know if it's seen here, but in chapati, it is seen tens and hundreds of times. Somebody is chanting in the morning hours between 5:30 and 7:30, and somebody comes. He's fully planned, you know, by 7:30 I will finish my last round. And with every round, his planning is increasing. Okay, one is gone. One is gone. He doesn't know what is going to come at 6:45. So one is gone. One is gone. One is gone. And at 6:45, the temple inside, the temple commander comes. Who? Today, nobody is there for this service. Can you spend 45 minutes doing this? No! Why? Why he says no? Because he knows he can't say no. But he has to do and he doesn't want to do. Why? Because he has already planned. By 7:30, this mala will be in my locker. Then whole day I will not look at this feedback. The planning was there. The proprietorship of our time. Our planning. Like some devotee was mentioning, always write your plans with a pencil, never with a permanent marker. Never use permanent marker to write your plans. Anybody experience this kind of anger, chanting something, somebody really disturbed, you know. Now here nobody is Brahmachari, I don't know about all of you, how, what kind of, anybody can share what happens in household life, how this anger comes.
You don't have to wait until some round, just have to wait, first round itself will get disturbed.
How?
You're just sitting there and you're just starting off, and somebody comes and tells you, you know, why don't you do this?
Maybe a child starts crying, somebody with a child, you know. Gautam Dhruva raised hand, I thought maybe his child starts crying, you know.
The mantra is to finish our rounds before the children wake up.
And we hope because they don't wake up before time, you know. That's another point. Many of our brahmacharis also, they finished, you know, before Mangalarti, mala should be in the locker. Once the sun comes up, the whole world wakes up. And everybody starts to the mobile, starts ringing all the time. I don't put my mobile on before 7:45. And suddenly it is gone. What is the purpose we have given you mobile? So that it should be on the whole night, whole day. I said, then I want to chant my rounds. I said, that is your problem. But you keep the mobile on all the time. I said, keep the mobile with you. Sorry, I don't need this mobile. So that way, at least we can chant few rounds. You are saying first round only is a problem. So that is proprietorship over time. Any other proprietorship which causes anger? Proprietorship.
Sometimes proprietorship over service, which means this
service, sir, yes.
Which means this is my domain of service. We don't want others to come in and poke their nose, so to say, in our domain.
Yes. Anybody try to share more graphic experiences? Like I remember, my service is to take care of all the visiting sannyasis. So here one sannyasi, you know, I came and I was so much in hope, cooked a whole big feast for him, personally was in the kitchen, spending 2 hours cooking the whole thing. And not a good cook, but learned some items and somehow cooked very nicely. I made sure everything done nicely. And the last one about to enter, suddenly some devotee entered with a whole big feast prepared. And he serves him. And I'm like devastated, I can't even say it to him. It's frustrating. Yes, you were sharing some incident.
I was sharing myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember something which Radha Maharaj said in a class. He was giving that class in Pune and he was saying how sometimes, you know, example he was giving that the lady is doing flower service. But because that devotee didn't want the other person to do a better garland than herself, how she used to steal the best flowers. So you know that this is mine, so don't enter into my domain of expertise, my domain of whatever, you know, control. So I have to be the best. So Maharaj was giving that example in that context. That you make sure that if this is mine, this service is mine, I am the best in this service, nobody should excel or threaten my position in any way.
That is about service, yes. often happens. How many have experienced, at least raise hands, I will not ask, but how many had this experience of domain of service and proprietorship? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Another thing, last point about proprietorship, just few examples, maybe you can share more if you want to. Proprietorship over people. These are my people. You know, especially the people you preach to, they become your people. Like so-called guru and disciple relationships. You are not a guru. Like you see, we have a counselor manual and it is written there. A counselor is not a guru. It's clearly written, you know. You're not supposed to own people. So it is mentioned there. But not even if you're not a counselor, just you're a department head or something and people under you and you have full plan how you're going to use these people and somebody from top comes and takes away your people. In the peak of your service, proprietorship, or the person goes away, you know, something happens, the person whom you feel you have control, he doesn't remain yours, proprietorship. So many ways, you know, people are disturbed. So anyway, this anger, urge, that vega is very strong. So Prabhupada is talking about anger is controlled, however, when utilized in service of the Lord. Okay, then, any other thoughts on this anger, any experience?
I think even Sri Prabhupada himself, express anger, like to the scientist, for example, used to say, I will kick the head of Darwin in my boot.
In my boot, yes. Like Prabhu, you were sharing something about that kicking the boot, some story, that Hare Krishna challenge book.
Yeah.
What was that?
That was what Prabhu was mentioning.
Same thing? Same. Yeah. So, then, tongue.
One more.
Yes.
Somebody asked Prabhupada, what do you think of Sai Baba? Prabhupada, I don't think of
him. I don't think of him, yes. So, jivva, udara upastha vegam. Then, jivva. We all experience the tongue wants to eat palatable dishes. Generally, we should not allow the tongue to eat according to its choice, but control the tongue by supplying prasad. The devotee's attitude is that he will eat only when Krishna gives him prasad. That is the way to control the urge of tongue. One should take prasad. So this is only when Krishna gives him prasad. Prasad at scheduled times. Not eat in restaurants, sweetmeat shops, simply to satisfy the whims of tongue or belly. If you stick to the principle, and Prabhupada makes it clear, you know, whims of tongue. Somebody may say, I'm not fit for tongue, I'm hungry. For belly also. That is also an urge. He says belly, urge, itching, you know. Belly also is creating an urge. Very difficult. I can't speak much on that. If you stick to the principle of taking only prasad, the urges of belly and tongue can be controlled. My God, what not we did, you know, in Bombay for these two things, belly and tongue. In our temple. I remember previously we didn't have this, like these boys were staying in the temple. It's difficult, you know, sometimes. Like we didn't have this VTA system, you know, first VTA. So when we were not in the, we were outside in the hostel, I remember one, obviously now in Bombay we have this base system. All the students are staying in the base. We got all these cooks from Bengal and they all cook and make sure they get proper food. Without food, nobody comes and stays in students' spaces. Not, that is the first thing. Prasadam should be good. And then, we remember, initially the system was not there. So most of the students, you know, they had small heater in the hostel and morning, 5 o'clock, get up, cook a khichdi for all three times. Khichdi. Bag in a tiffin, carry that khichdi in the, to the, like going to hospital, you know, for a duty. So, if not, if you are an emergency duty in the hospital, so carry that tiffin because we know we can't eat from outside. It will be really frustration. I mean, how many days you can live khichdi, you know? Morning, afternoon, evening. Some variety is required, right? So, and then I was calculating, being a doctor, you know, I have to calculate how much nutrition is there. So, I would make sure in khichdi, grains are like dal is there, some beans are there for proteins, then carbohydrates, everything is provided. So, all of us would pack the whole tiffin. Take in the morning eat khichdi. Then at 10 o'clock hungry, open and eat khichdi. 7 o'clock hungry, open and eat khichdi. And the whole buy some milk from outside. 1 year I did like that. And then I was praying to Krishna, please, please, I really want to join ashram. Why? Working outside, no proper food, you know, in ashram, I get 3 times food. That was the main thought, but somewhere in the back I was carrying. And I remember when I joined this VTA facility. And because he was staying not at home, so home at least somebody can cook. So when I joined VTA, I first came to the temple. And all 3 times, hot prasadam. I was so ecstatic. Not 2, not 3, not 4, 10, 12 chapatis at a time. 4 chapatis, you know. So it was so difficult in the student life. So many of the students, all the basis they are sustained on the principle of prasadam. No guru prasadam, nobody wants to stay there. That is the whole principle there. Very difficult to maintain. And then in fact, one of our devotees, Adavalla Prabhu, who is the main cook there, he was sent to all different places to learn cooking. He went to Italy to learn all Italian items. Can you imagine going to Italy not to preach, to learn cooking? So, because the management was so emphatic, prasad should be first class. Otherwise, devotee is always frustrated and nobody does service properly. And more than that, for DTs also. So they sent him to Italy to learn all the Italian items. Then he went to London and in the Bhaktivedanta manner, you know, if you know all this famous Sandesh and Burpee, very famous from there. Mataji, Kulamana Mataji, right? She personally trained this devotee, you know, the Brahmachari, personally taught everything, how to cook and everything. So he spent almost 2 weeks there learning. Came to India, then he was sent to, then he and myself, both of us went to Mayapur in Radha Madhav's kitchen. We spent 15 days learning Bengali cooking. Then he went to Srimant Adivip Jagannath Mandir in Navadvip. There he learned all the cooking, you know. Then some of my service days are not eating much. But then he went to South India and to Melkote Temple and he learned all the South Indian items there. Then he went to Chennai, same devotee, learned all the South Indian food. Then he went to Punjab, learned all the Punjabi items. And so he knows Bengali, Punjabi, South Indian. I think the only place left is West Gujarati item. So much effort was done just to train him so then we started, you know, okay, one day Punjabi menu, one day South Indian, one day Tamil South Indian, one day maybe from Kerala side, you know, different. Then one day we have Italian, then one day like different variety started. So much emphasis just to keep provide this, you know, jiva udara pasta, jiva and udara, belly and tongue. One should take prasad and scheduled timings and should not eat in restaurant or sweet meat shop simply to satisfy the whims of tongue or belly. If you stick to this principle, the urges of belly and tongue can be controlled. In a similar manner, the urges of genitals, the sex impulse, can be controlled when not used unnecessarily. The genitals should be used to beget a Krishna conscious type, otherwise they should not be used. The Krishna conscious movement encourages marriage not for satisfaction of genitals but for the begetting of Krishna conscious children. As soon as children are little grown up, they are sent to a Gurukul school in Dallas, Texas, where they are trained to become fully Krishna conscious devotees. Many such Krishna conscious children are required, and one who is capable of bringing forth Krishna conscious offspring is allowed to utilize his genitals. So like that, this is Prabhupada's purport. All the six Vedas. Then we have Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary. When one is fully practiced in the methods of Krishna conscious control, he can become qualified to be a bona fide spiritual master. In fact, that was the vision, you know, we started this whole system in our temple for training all the, you know, all the young boys and young girls. Here also I saw so much this, you know, yesterday Prabhu was explaining about this voice system. Very, very effective, you know, this training process. What you call, I think this activity is a part of VTA, but in Chowati, VTA means Vaishnava Training Academy. The boys are trained, you know, separately. So, 1 year training. So many boys, till now, I mean, how much we have, like 5, 6. And we were the first batch of VTA actually. So, originally it was named as BTG. Any guesses what is BTG? For those who don't know, that's okay. Brahmachari training before Grahastha Ashram. That was the name of this, you know, concept, BTG. So then we realized not everybody become Grahastha, some became Brahmachari, some become Grahastha, so then we changed, you know, VTA, Vaishnava Training Academy. So what you have VTA is the VTA, other VTA there. But amazing, the kind of effect this training has on them. They stay 1 year, heavy classes given to them. Heavy means like intense hearing is done. 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, classes, Sunday also class. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're free. Do whatever you want, some service. But intense 1 year training. Amazing. Either you become Brahmachari Grahastha. Whichever ashram he goes, that ashram benefits. But the training is so amazing. At our time when we started, there was no training because there were only 4 people, you know, in the VTA. Only 4 of us stayed there. But then gradually, like every batch, 25. I think few years have passed now. So very, very helpful. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary is there. Anuvritti explanation. Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that our material identification creates 3 kinds of urges. The urge to speak, demands of the mind, and the demands of body. In fact, I would suggest we should have a break now. That would be better. How much break should we have from? Anybody, how much break should we have? 10-15 minutes? 15 minutes is okay? So it's 10:50 now according to my watch. By 11:05, 15 minutes. We'll be back here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
We need it now? No, not now. Not today.
I don't think so.
We have to see it tomorrow.